Invite you to take your Bibles. We'll be studying a portion of God's Word. One of the things that we learn from the Scriptures is that it is from our emotions, from our heart, that things bring out to affect all aspects of our lives. Over in Proverbs chapter 4, which is where we will begin, Proverbs chapter 4 and in verse 23, Proverbs 4, verse 23 says, "Watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life." The imagery is that of a spring that's bubbling up, water's coming up out from under the ground, and from that then plants get watered, animals get the nourishment they need. Life happens because water's available. It's a vivid imagery, especially when you think about it, is from an area that's basically dry. Water is important to it. And our lives spring forth from our emotions, from our hearts. But that well can be poisoned. Take a look at Mark chapter 7. Jesus talks about this in Mark chapter 7, starting with verse 20. And he was saying, "That which proceeds out of the man, that is what defiles the man. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceeds evil thoughts, fornications, thefts, murders, adulteries, deeds of coveting, and wickedness, as well as deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, and foolishness. All these evil things proceed from within and defile the man." So the things that we think about, the things that we put into ourselves, the things that we feed ourselves when we watch TV, when we listen to songs, when we read books, whatever we put into ourselves that affects our emotions and the way we think, then affects how things come out of us and affects our lives. We can poison the well with evil thoughts. We can sweeten in our lives with righteous ideals. Over in Philippians chapter 4, Philippians chapter 4, starting with verse 4. Philippians 4, verse 4 says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I will say rejoice. Let your gentle spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." Thinking about the righteous things affects our lives as well. In fact, we go on with this passage. It says, "And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there's any excellence, if anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things." These are what should fill our thoughts, because these will affect our emotions and our lives and then the things that we end up doing. But our emotions have to be controlled. We don't control our emotions, they end up controlling us. In fact, there's a warning in Proverbs chapter 16. Proverbs 16 and in verse 32. Proverbs 16, verse 32 says, "He who is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he who rules the spirit than he who captures a city." A person is stronger if they can control their emotions. Control gives us strength, both over ourselves. We can do things more than somebody who's out of control. And when we trust God and learn from His Word, we can learn how to control ourselves, control our emotions within us. In Proverbs chapter 3, Proverbs chapter 3, starting with verse 5, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledging Him, and He will make your path straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. it will be healing to your body and refreshment to your bones. But what happens when you leave emotions out of control? When you let things go and you just act on whatever you feel like at the moment? Well, one of the warnings in Proverbs is that we end up being misguided. In Proverbs 28 and in verse 26, it says, "He who trusts his own heart is a fool, but he who walks wisely will be delivered." So often people come up and talk about religion, they talk about moral decisions, they talk about their lives, but they all talk about what I feel. And think about what that ends up doing. When all decisions are basically made on what I feel is right, or what I feel I ought to do, and simply based on what you know is right, or what you know is wrong. Too often people make all their decisions based on feelings. Sometimes they're right, but most of the time they're wrong. Because they're misguided, because everything isn't what it appears to be. In Proverbs 14 and verse 12, it says, "There is a way which seems right to a man, but at the end of the way is death." There are things that look right, they might feel right, but they're not necessarily are right. And when we trust our emotions, it twists us up, oftentimes leading us to the point where we're led away from God. In Proverbs 19 and in verse 3, it says, "The foolishness of man ruins his way, and his heart rages against the Lord." There's lots of times that happens. Something awful happens in the family. Things look really bad. Who's blamed oftentimes? A lot of people rage against God and say, "Why did God do this to me?" And it's oftentimes the person's own bad choices, or somebody else's bad choice, Satan being involved. We've got to be careful about letting our emotions rule our decisions. A very classic example is found in Acts 13. In Acts chapter 13 and verse 45, it says, "But when the Jews saw the crowds, they were filled with jealousy and began contradicting the things spoken by Paul and were blaspheming. Paul and Barnabas spoke out boldly and said, 'It is necessary that the word of God be spoken to you first. Since you repudiate it and judge yourselves unworthy of eternal life, behold, we are turning to the Gentiles.'" Now think about what it is. The Jews had an emotional response. They were jealous. They were envious of the crowds that Paul was able to gather. It didn't matter to them who was right. They just didn't like the fact that Paul generated crowds and they didn't. They had an emotional response and they actually end up blaspheming the Lord. They end up raging against God. And that's when Paul said, "Okay, we did our best. We brought the gospel to you. You'd rejected it. We're going to somebody else." It's foolish to let our emotions rule us. And we talked about it before too. It's also foolish. Sometimes we're told, "Well, just vent your feelings." That's not often a good idea, because in Proverbs 29 and in verse 11, it says, "A fool always loses his temper," or vents his feelings, depending on your translation, "but a wise man holds it back." Why is that? Because sometimes my feelings aren't right. And I'm better off keeping my mouth shut and not letting them show. There's some very dangerous emotions that each of us experience that we have to have control over. For instance, anger. Anger is a fiery resentment over mistreatment, whether real or exaggerated or imagined. Sometimes we really are mistreated, but sometimes we blow things out of proportion. And what is done to us is maybe not nearly so severe as we might imagine it to be. Or we might make it all completely up. And we're not being mistreated at all, but we think we are. And we lose control. We get angry. It's not a good emotion to allow free reign in our lives because it doesn't allow us to think. James, in James chapter 1, James chapter 1 and in verse 19 warns this. This you know, my beloved brethren, but everyone must be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. For the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God. People who get angry don't think. We have to understand that. We will want to make good decisions. You can't do it while you're angry. Back in Proverbs chapter 12, and in verse 16, Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 16, it says, a fool's anger is known at once, but a prudent man conceals dishonor. When you start using your head, you don't let your emotions show. Fool, though, just rages at anything and everything, just flies off the handle, has no control over his anger. And as a result, you end up making dumb mistakes. In chapter 14 of Proverbs, in verse 29, it says, he who is slow to anger has great understanding, but he who is quick-tempered exalts folly. You end up doing some really foolish things when you just let your anger just go. One type of foolish thing it leads to is fights. In Proverbs 30, Proverbs 30 and verse 33 says, for the churning of butter or milk produces butter, and the pressing of the nose brings forth blood, so the churning of anger produces strife. One thing leads to another. You churn milk, you know you're going to get butter out of it. Hit the nose, it's going to bleed. You stir up anger, it's going to lead to strife. It's just the nature of the beast. That's because there is no control over what's said, and soon there is no control over what is done. And so it gets us into trouble repeatedly. Going back to Proverbs 19, Proverbs 19 and verse 19, it says, a man of great anger will bear the penalty, for if you rescue him, you will only have to do it again. He just doesn't learn from his mistakes. The solution to it, though, is to avoid anger. I know, easier said than done. But one way to do that is stop feeding ourselves with angry emotions. If we hang around people who are angry all the time, we'll pick up that trait. In Proverbs 22, and in verse 24, Proverbs 22, verse 24, it says, do not associate with a man given to anger, or go with a hot-tempered man, or you will learn his ways and find a snare for yourself. And that has been true in all sorts of relationships I've seen. When one person loses his temper, the other person picks it up. And oftentimes it feeds on itself, one passing it back and forth to the other. The best way to stop it is avoided. Break the cycle. Stay away from it. Oftentimes, too, we need to distinguish between what's really important and what's just a minor annoyance. A lot of times we get angry over things that are really not worth the fight. In Proverbs 19, in verse 11, Proverbs 19, verse 11 says, a man's discretion makes him slow to anger. It is his glory to overlook a transgression. It ought to take quite a bit to make you angry. We need to cultivate an attitude of saying, this is not that important. This is not worth getting angry over. It's going to take training. It's going to be hard. But it's something that we need to do. We need to slow down our response as well. I'm going to Proverbs 8:15. Proverbs 15, verse 18. It says, a hot-tempered man stirs up strife, but the slow to anger calms a dispute. And there lies a lot of times the problem. Too often, we just get angry. We don't look for solutions to the problem. We don't think about what the problem is and how to solve it. We just get mad. What we need to do is control our anger. Think about what's wrong. Why am I getting angry? What's the problem? Start thinking about what is the solution, because I would almost guarantee you 99.9% of the time, anger is not the solution to the problem. It's not going to solve anything. We need to have some control. Another emotion that we got to control is envy. Envy is displeasure at another person's good fortune, thinking that should belong to you and not to them. The problem with envy is it destroys a person who is envious. It eats away at them from the inside. Take a look at Proverbs 14, verse 30. Proverbs 14, verse 30, it says, a tranquil heart is life to the body, but passion, or envy, is rottenness to the bones. You just let that emotion just go wild. It just ruins you. And it causes harm to other people as well. In Galatians chapter 5, Galatians chapter 5, and verse 15, Galatians 5, verse 15, says, if you bite and devour one another, take care that you are not consumed by one another. That's what you often see happening. A lot of destruction that happens in churches, happens in organizations of all sorts, is when people become envious. And they start tearing other people down, trying to bring them down to their level. No one seems to be able to get ahead because everybody else is ready to just chew at them whenever they make the least movement in advance. And so they end up devouring each other and things just fall apart. Envy also promotes evil because people are not thinking good thoughts about other people. And they start thinking about things they could do that they really ought not to do. In James chapter 3, James chapter 3 and verse 14, he says, but if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your heart, do not be arrogant and so lie against the truth. This wisdom is not that which comes from down from above, but is earthly, natural, demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there is disorder and every evil thing. People don't have proper thoughts. As we said before, when you poison the well, it infects everything else that you do. A real classic example, that's Cain. I'm not going to go back to Genesis. We'll go to 1 John for that. 1 John chapter 3. Cain ended up killing his brother. And it was over what you, if you think about it, over the most silly thing. His brother did a good job with his sacrifices. Cain killed him for that. In John chapter 3, in verse 12, it says, not as Cain, who was of the evil one, and slew his brother. And for what reason did he slay him? Because his deeds were evil, and his brothers were righteous. Instead of trying to make things right, instead of sitting down and saying, hey, I need to fix my life so I can be like my brother, he destroyed his brother. That's what envy does to people when it's allowed to rule a life. You don't think about the solution. You think about getting even. And again, the solution to this issue is to focus on God, not on yourself. Because there's where the problem really lies. The person who's envious is focused on selfish ambitions. What I think I deserve and ought to get. In Proverbs 23, Proverbs 23, in verse 17. Proverbs 23, verse 17, it says, do not let envy, your heart envy sinners, but live in the fear of the Lord always. Surely there is a future, and your hope will not be cut off. Focus on what is right. Focus on what you need to do. If someone, because of their evil, doesn't deserve something, there's no need for us to get envious of them. We know God will take care of the problem, and we ought to let God handle the problem. Back in Psalms 37, in verse 1, it says, do not fret because of evil. Excuse me. Do not fret because of evildoers, and do not be envious towards wrongdoers. For they will wither quickly like the grass and fade like the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and cultivate faithfulness. Focus on what you ought to do that's right. Don't worry about the wicked. That problem will take care of itself because God will have a hand in it. Another verse that we need to keep in mind is Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, starting with verse 3, says, do not nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind regard one another as more important than yourselves. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. That is the attitude that we have to cultivate. Not being envious of somebody's success, but looking out to say other people are more important. And if somebody else succeeds, that's wonderful. That's great. We can't let our emotions control our lives. Another problem is that of arrogance. Arrogance is an inflated feeling of self-importance. When you're arrogant, you don't listen to other people. You know it all. And when you don't listen to other people, you get conflicts. Over in Proverbs 13, Proverbs 13 and verse 10, through insolence comes nothing but strife, but wisdom is with those who receive counsel. You get nothing but arguments, you get nothing but strife, because nobody's listening to anybody else. The smart person listens and oftentimes solves problems. Arrogance, though, also is destructive. In Proverbs 16 and verse 18, it says, pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before stumbling. That's what leads to the downfall, is the pride, because people aren't watching. They're not aware of the difficulties and the problems around them. And finally, it is plain sinful. In Proverbs 21 and verse 24, Proverbs 21, verse 24, it says, proud, haughty, scoffer are his names, who acts with insolent pride. People who allow pride to rule their lives are going to destroy themselves because they're in sin. Again, the solution to that problem is the battle of the pride. Have control over, which means we need humility to cancel out the pride. In Proverbs 18 and in verse 12, it says, before destruction of the heart, a man is haughty, but humility goes before honor. When we have pride, we end up falling, we end up destroying ourselves. But so we need to cultivate humility. Because the humble is willing to learn. In Proverbs 11 and verse 12, or sorry, verse 2. Proverbs 11, verse 2. So when pride comes, then comes dishonor. But with the humble is wisdom. See, a humble person doesn't mind that somebody else knows something they don't know. A humble person doesn't mind that they can be wrong and make corrective action. In fact, if we see ourselves as God does, then we will lose our pride. Take a look at Romans chapter 12. Romans 12 and in verse 3. Romans chapter 12, verse 3. It says, for through the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment, as God has allowed it each a measure of faith. Don't think higher of yourself than you ought to. Think of yourself the way God sees you. That should put us in our own place. Another problem that comes with allowing emotions to rule our lives is that of impulsiveness, rashness, recklessness, acting without advanced thought. Oh, we do this so many times, especially when we're young. We don't think about the fact that there can be consequences to action. So oftentimes we do things and then realize afterwards, oops, that wasn't such a great idea. But it's following a feeling. Saying, well, that looks good to me right now, so off I go. Thing is, though, we act without thought, we lose what we have. Take a look at Proverbs 21. Proverbs 21, and in verse 5. Proverbs 21, and in verse 5. The plans of the diligent lead surely to an advantage, but everyone who is hasty surely comes to poverty. I've seen this so many times, where somebody has a great idea on how to invest their money. They're going to go off and they're going to make all sorts of oodles of money. How did you think about it? What did you explore? Did you see the options? Do you know what the track record is? Oh, that doesn't matter. This sounds like a really great deal. More often than not, it was a great deal for somebody else because they lost their money. You have to plan. You have to think. Yes, you might miss some really great deals, but you're going to miss a whole lot more of the things that are going to ruin your life. When a person is impulsive too, they oftentimes say things they later regret, because they didn't think about how the other person is going to respond to what they said. In Proverbs 29, Proverbs 29 and in verse 20, do you see a man who is hasty in his words? There's more hope for a fool than for him. Somebody who is totally uneducated, doesn't even know what he's saying, does better than a person who just blurts out whatever comes to mind. And because of that, it ends up Rashness ends up being destructive. In Proverbs 13, in verse 3, it says, the one who guards his mouth preserves his life. The one who opens wide his lips comes to ruin. We need to be careful about the things we say, thinking about what they mean, how other people react to them. Otherwise, sometimes we're going to get in really big trouble, and somebody that we might offend might do something to us that we would rather regret. Of course, the solution to that then is to think before you go anywhere. Think about where things are going to lead. That's hard when you're young, because you don't have much experience. But you got to force yourself to start thinking about where things end up. In Proverbs 4, in verse 26. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 26, it says, watch the path of your feet, and all your ways will be established. Look where you're going. Or the modern day one is, look before you leap. You need to know what things are going to end up happening because of the choices you make. In Proverbs 14 and in verse 15, Proverbs 14 verse 15 says, the naive believes everything, but the sensible man considers his steps. I can't tell you how many times somebody told me, well, it has to be true, I saw it on the internet. Or somebody I really, really trust told me this was true, so it has to be true. Because he wouldn't lie to me. You need to think about where things come from, what's being said, and check things out. A lot of honest people have been deceived. You can have a really good friend that's really trustworthy, but he could have been fooled. And just because you can find it on the news, or find it on the internet, or find it someplace else, it doesn't make it true. Because there's a lot of people out there who lie. It also means we need to understand what we're doing. Back in Proverbs 14. Still in Proverbs 14, back at verse 8, it says, the wisdom of the sensible is to understand his way. The foolish of fools is deceit. The foolishness of fools is deceit. The wise person thinks about and knows why he's doing something. It's amazing how many times people make decisions and do things without even understanding how it works or why it works. I hear about all these wonderful schemes of how you're going to sell this product and it's going to make all this money. Well, how does the money actually get made? And what's amazing is how many times I go look at it and say, okay, how does a person actually make money? They don't make money selling a product. They actually make money trying to recruit other people. Well, wait a minute, there's a limited number of people in the world that's going to be willing to sell this product. Somebody's got to buy something somewhere. If you don't have something to sell, you're not going to make money. We got to understand what we're doing. We got to look to where it leads. In Proverbs 22, and in verse 3, Proverbs 22 and verse 3 says, the prudent sees the evil and hides himself, but the naive goes on and are punished for it. I've seen this happen too. People know, yes, I know that is a dangerous neighborhood, but I'm going to walk down the street anyway. I have people that I know who are struggling with drugs. I keep telling them, you can't go to the friends who are using the drugs. Well, I'm not planning to use it. I don't care. You're in the presence of evil. Guess what's going to happen? The naive goes on and are punished anyway. We have to understand, where does it lead? Who are we associating with? How is it going to affect me? I have so many people that go to movies and they say, oh, that movie's all right, it doesn't affect me a bit. I borrowed the movie, and there was a time before we got some things to keep this stuff off our screen. Put in a movie, and you go, wait a minute, I didn't get to 30 seconds in the movie, and there was way too many swear words. Oh, that didn't affect me. How? How is it you can listen to cussing and profanity and it not affect you? We got to think about those things. We need to guard our hearts. We need to guard our minds. In Proverbs 21 and verse 23, he who guards his mouth and his tongue guards his soul from trouble. We got to put some guards on what we say and what we do, because then we won't get ourselves into trouble. And obviously we need to think before we open our mouth and speak. Just because you have a thought doesn't mean other people need to hear it. In Proverbs 15 and verse 28, Proverbs 15 verse 28 says, the heart of the righteous ponders how to answer, but the mouth of the wicked pours out evil things. Oftentimes we can solve a lot of problems, a lot of contention, if people would just stop and think about what they're planning to say before they actually say it. I remember not too long ago, I had drilled this into somebody's head really hard. They were on a trial. Hey, that prosecutor is going to try to trip you up every which way you can. Stop. Every time she asks you a question, stop. Think about what you're going to answer. Compose the answer in your head. Then say it out loud. He actually did a real good job when he finally did it. Because people always mess up when they just blurt whatever first thing comes to their head. It might be true, it might be accurate, but it really sounds awful. Because they didn't think about the ramifications of how they expressed it. That's an extreme example when you're on trial. But it's the same thing in day-to-day interactions. Think about what you're about to say. You don't give somebody else ammunition to prove that you're an awful person, even if you're not. You ought not to be anyway. But don't blurt out just the first thing that comes to your head. Think about it. Try to phrase it in a way that the other person will find acceptable. One other emotion that we need to have control over is anxiety. Anxiety is uneasiness caused by the fear of misfortune. People think that something bad's going to happen, and so they get anxious. They get fearful. The problem is, when we allow that emotion to control our lives, we become depressed. In Proverbs 12, and in verse 25, Proverbs 12, verse 25, anxiety in a man's heart weighs it down, but a good word makes it glad. When we allow fear to rule our lives, it just causes us to get depressed. Everything is going to go wrong, because the potential for wrong is quite high. It will destroy our own health, too, in Proverbs 17, in verse 22. A joyful heart is good medicine, but a broken spirit dries up the bones. And in chapter 18, Proverbs 18, verse 14, it says, the spirit of man can endure his sickness, but as for the broken spirit, who can bear it? When we get depressed, when we think everything is bad, when we're just down and out and gloomy, it ruins us. Ruins our health even. The solution to it is seemingly overly easy. and just choose to be happy. Instead of looking at and fearing all the possible troubles that might come up, choose to be happy with what things are right now. In Proverbs 15, in verse 15, it says, all the days of the afflicted are bad, but a cheerful heart has continual feast. Are there bad things out in the world? Yes. Do I need to focus on them? No. I can choose to focus on all the good things that are happening. I can cultivate pleasant friends who give me good advice. In Proverbs 16, in verse 24, pleasant words are a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and healing to the bones. And over in Proverbs 27 in verse 9, oil and perfume makes the heart glad, so a man's counsel is sweet to his friends. And another thing we need to cultivate is a trust in God. Yes, there are troubles in this world. Yes, there are problems. Yes, I don't have control over everything that happens to me. But you know what? I can trust God to handle what I can't handle. In Proverbs 16, verse 20 says, he who gives attention to the word will find good, and blessed is he who trusts in the Lord. Going back to Proverbs 29, and in verse 25, the fear of man brings a snare, but he who trusts in the Lord will be exalted. We can either let fear run our lives, or we can just trust that God will handle it and choose to be cheerful. What we have to do is resolve to not let our emotions run us. We ought to control our emotions, not the other way around. We need to have respect for God. In Proverbs 14 and in verse 26, it says, in the fear of the Lord there is strong confidence, and his children have refuge. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life, that one may avoid the snares of death. In Proverbs 19 and in verse 23. Proverbs 19, verse 23, it says, the fear of the Lord leads to life, so that the one may sleep satisfied, untouched by evil. We also need to listen to correction. We need to trust that God, putting the proper fear in doing what God wants us to do, have respect for God. But we also need to understand that sometimes we're plain wrong. And we need to correct ourselves. In Proverbs 17 and verse 10, a rebuke goes deeper into the one who has understanding than a hundred blows into a fool. If we just understand that we don't know everything, then we'll cultivate more wisdom, because we'll learn. Finally, let's turn over to Proverbs 3. Proverbs chapter 3, and we're going to start with verse 1. My son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you. Do not let kindness and truth leave you. Bind them around your neck, write them on the tablet of your heart. So you will find favor and good repute in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your body and refreshment to your bones. Honor the Lord from your wealth and from the first of all your produce, so your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. My son, do not reject the discipline of the Lord, or loathe his reproof. For whom the Lord loves, he reproves, even as a father corrects the son, in whom he delights. How blessed is the man who finds wisdom, and the man who gains understanding. For a prophet is better than the prophet of silver, and her gain better than fine gold. She is more precious than jewels, and nothing you desire compares with her. Long life is in her right hand, in her left hand are riches and honor. Her ways are pleasant ways, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who take hold of her, and happy are all who hold her fast. The Lord by wisdom founded the earth. By understanding he established the heavens. By his knowledge the deeps were broken up, and the skies dripped with dew. My son, let them not vanish from your sight. Keep sound wisdom and discretion, so that they will be life to your soul and adornment to your neck. Then you will walk in your way securely, and your foot will not stumble. Then you will lie down, and you will not be afraid. When you lie down, your sleep will be sweet. Do not be afraid of sudden fear, nor of the onslaught of the wicked when it comes, for the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your feet from being caught. You notice all through that reading, it's all the same thing that we talked about. You can either let emotions run and have fear and anger and all those other things just run your life, or you can cultivate a wisdom that comes from God and have confidence, have peace, have gladness. It's all a choice that you make. I hope you'll think about these things this night. If there's anyone here who's not yet a child of God, there's no better time than to put on Christ right now but in the form of baptism. If there's anyone here who is a child of God, would like to praise their brethren on their behalf, why don't you come forward? We stand and sing the song of selection.